Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
A big weekend for the Ohio State Buckeyes. Have you heard about this? Have you seen about this? Number 4, Ohio State on the road in Happy Valley against number 3, Penn State. One of these teams is undefeated, and it ain't Ohio State. James Franklin is still James Franklin. Just so we're clear, I actually really like Drew Aller, which I've pointed out. We might be watching the Browns' future quarterback this weekend. We did last weekend as well, but he got hurt there. But yeah, James Franklin is still James Franklin, but there's a conversation to be had here about this game, and to have it with us of Kings of the North on YouTube, Monday through Thursdays at noon, the post game. Also on Saturday nights, the great Doug LeMaurice joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hey, Doug, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. I'm only asking you this because I never know what you're going to say, because you actually, you're one of the media members that answers things truthfully, and I appreciate it. Are you a Halloween guy?
Oh, I'm a candy guy. I'm not a scary movie guy. I'm a trick-or-treat with the family guy. So I'm like, a trick-or-treat, yes. Like scary stuff, no.
Okay, no, I think that's a perfect line to walk. I now consider you a Halloween guy. I hope that's okay with you.
Oh, I'll take it. I love mini Snickers.
I love mini anything, like any candy, yeah. Really. I mean, I just buy the handful if I can. I'll ask you, when we're talking about this Ohio State game this weekend, how do you feel about this matchup?
Oh, I think it's great for the Big Ten. I do think this might be the most complete team, both sides of the ball, that James Franklin has had in his 11 years at Penn State. I think it's a huge game for Ohio State, less because of the loss to Oregon, but more because of the way they played last week. I don't think anybody thought it was impressive. But I think it's great. I think both these teams can absolutely compete at the top of the sport this year. So I think this is one that the Big Ten and Northern College football fans should be psyched for.
What do you think is the key matchup for an Ohio State win?
Jeremiah Smith versus everybody. The last 2 years, Marvin Harrison Jr. won this game for Ohio State. I think in both years he had the most targets he had in any game in the Penn State game. A couple years ago, it was a big Marvin Harrison Jr. Joey Porter Jr. matchup, with Porter at corner for Penn State, and Marv kind of undressed him. And Joey Porter Jr. was still the first pick in the second round of the Steelers. Like, he's a great player. But Ohio State in those two wins the last 2 years, like, found a way to let their best offensive weapon dominate the game. And that's the process I think they need to have in mind with Jeremiah Smith. They did feed him a lot in the Oregon game, but I would, if I were Ohio State, I would want to target Jeremiah Smith at least 12 to 14 times in this game, maybe more. And it's not that Penn State doesn't have a good secondary. They do. They always do. They have a couple transfer corners from the SEC. They're good. But go to your best guy. And they've proven they will do that in this game, and I think the Buckeyes need to do it again.
So for the other side of the ball, what is the key matchup for Penn State to win this?
Yeah, it's probably Abdul Carter, who is playing some linebacker for them, but still a lot of defensive end. I would imagine they'll try to put him over the Ohio State left tackle spot, which is completely up in the air after the season-ending injury to Josh Simmons. And Mahalski played there last week, wasn't very good. He's hurt. It probably won't be him, so it'll be somebody new at left tackle for Ohio State, maybe left guard Donovan Jackson kicking out. But Abdul Carter is, he's not Micah Parsons, but he's a really good edge player. And Ohio State had huge problems at left tackle last week, and that was with what they thought was the next best option after the Josh Simmons injury. And so now what's that going to be like? So if they can have a dynamic dude potentially dominate that matchup, then all of a sudden is Will Howard going to have time to get the ball to Jeremiah Smith and everybody else? So obviously every fan needs to be watching the first couple series, how that Ohio State left tackle, stands up, and whether Abdul Carter is taken into the cleaners.
Doug LeMaurice, Kings of the North on YouTube on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Number 4, Ohio State. Number 3, Penn State. in the state of Pennsylvania coming up this weekend. How did you view the Nebraska game? Were you more distressed that they struggled to convincingly beat Nebraska? Or do you think it only really matters that they won?
No, definitely distressed. I was not distressed by Oregon. I thought that was two good teams playing at a pretty high level. I thought that was a more of a high-level game than some of the SEC matchups we've seen this year. And yeah, there were some things with the Ohio State defense that could have been better, but you know what? Those are really good skill players for Oregon. And then off a loss, off and off week, I thought that they would come out and assert their will and show again how good they can be, especially with Nebraska coming off a blowout loss to Indiana. And Indiana and Ohio State, by some metrics, are the two most efficient offenses in the country. And Indiana against Nebraska kind of did anything they wanted to. And Ohio State against Nebraska did not do that. They hit a couple big plays and otherwise couldn't run the ball, and that is an issue for them. So I just thought the spot, a chance to prove yourself, like Nebraska is good and competent, but, you know, Nebraska is not a top 25 team. And in comparison to what Indiana did, like I that's the one that really got my attention of like, okay, is Ohio State not quite what we thought they were?
Doug, the O-line drives me crazy. On one hand, if you're going to be a finesse offensive line, that's fine, but you got to move well. I don't think they move very well. They're certainly not a physical offensive line consistently. So I'm just curious because I don't know what stylistically they do well. Like, and then it comes to it, I don't know if they're bad at identifying O-line prospects or they're bad at coaching them up. Can you help me make sense of the O-line debacle that has become Ohio State under Justin Fry?
I do think it's more recruiting. I mean, you know, the Ohio State fans who follow it closely, there have been a lot of especially tackle misses in recruiting the last couple years. You know, they've been in a lot of five-star guys that in the end, they don't get them. Jordan Seaton was one of those guys who's the starting left tackle at Colorado this year as a true freshman. He was in it. I think it was like down to Maryland and Ohio State for him. He actually committed to Maryland, I think, and then flipped to Colorado. But if Jordan Seaton was here, he'd, you know, would maybe be starting for them. I think he maybe would have been the starting right tackle. Josh Fryer plays guard. Now Seaton could move to left tackle. They've just missed in recruiting. So they had just enough with getting Seth McLaughlin as a transfer at center. They had just enough to put out five guys this year that I thought the offensive line actually was played better in the first half of the season than I thought it would. The right guard spot where they've been playing two guys who are new has been the problem spot, but now they got one injury and they don't know what to do. You know, like Notre Dame has, I think, three starters on the offensive line right now who are playing because of injury, and Notre Dame's figured it out. Like, you have to – offensive line injuries are not unexpected. And for Ohio State to barely have five guys to trust, I think is more of a recruiting failure than anything else, and it's one I think we kind of saw coming.
Doug LeMaurice, Kings of the North, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So I'm curious about this because everybody keeps talking about, you know, Jeremiah Smith's dominance on a freshman level instead of where I'm at, where it's just I'd like for any level of player, any year of player, the kid just does something every week that makes me go gaga. I'm curious, how do you classify, quantify, whatever word you want, Jeremiah Smith's performance here in his freshman year at Columbus?
So this is an ongoing conversation we've been having with our listeners and viewers. If you could have either fourth-year Marvin Harrison Jr., that he didn't go to the NFL, he stayed for a fourth year, like a lot of these Ohio State seniors did, right? But then Jeremiah Smith decommits, and it's just about this year, no future. Or you could have it as it is. Marvin Harrison Jr. leaves, and you get freshman Jeremiah Smith. So it's senior Marv versus freshman JJ this season in a situation where I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is probably the best receiver in Ohio State history. Who would you rather have right now? And I think the answer is Jeremiah Smith. So that's my context of – I think you'd rather have him as a freshman than the best receiver in Ohio State history as a senior. So I hope that answers the question. This is nuts.
I think it is, and I share in your incredulity. Through seven games, have you seen enough to discount Ohio State as a true national championship contender instead of being a playoff contender?
No, I think I think even coming off Oregon, they were my national title pick before the year, but I also picked them before the year and that week to lose to Oregon. I thought it was a very reasonable loss. You're allowed to lose now in the 12-team playoff. And still after the Oregon game, I would have said Ohio State's still my national title pick. Now, after the Nebraska game, I would not say that, but I don't have a different national title pick. I now just think they're in the pack. But when you look at Georgia, when you look at Texas, when you look at the best team in the Big 12, or Miami's undefeated in the ACC, or Oregon, or Penn State, or anybody else, I don't think they're better than Ohio State. But if previously I thought Ohio State was above them, I no longer think that. So now I think if you wanted to throw out seven or eight teams and say they all kind of are in the same mix for the national title, I wouldn't take Ohio State out of that, but I think they're firmly in that instead of above it.
Doug, you and I fought on the same side of the Sashi Brown Wars once upon a time when you worked for the Plain Dealer. And so now I must ask you, where do you stand on the Ryan Day Wars?
So I certainly coming into the season thought what kind of world is it where it's like if they don't win the national title, you're out on Ryan Day, right? Like, is that real? Only one team wins it all. Like, that's really where we are. Does Ohio State have to beat Michigan this year? I mean, at some point, you can't lose like nine in a row to your rival. So at some point, yes, you have to win that game. So I was very much in on, like, there's plenty of room for criticism and critique, but, like, the get rid of the guy discussion was just crazy.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Crazy to me. I have not changed my mind on that, but I was very disappointed by the way Ohio State played last week. So I am still not there. It like a irrational win all your games or else is not healthy for anybody. But they have a lot of talent, and I don't think they're playing as well as anybody thought they would play, right? And what does that come down to? So I don't have a thing that, like, if they don't do X, I would make a coaching change. But I understand the frustration more right now than I have in the past. So they gotta go win some big games and live up to their talent, which I think, especially last week, they didn't.
So it's interesting you say this, because you and I are actually on the same side of this again. Like, we're pretty much in lockstep. I get every criticism that they have. I just think the level of vitriol is wild. And, like, our morning show, The Morning Boys, today sent out a poll at, I think it was like 7 or 8 a.m., is Ryan Day coaching for his job? And 77.6 of 1,300 voters voted yes. And it just,
like,
kind of
this week for his job.
I believe that is the context, yeah. Although I might be applying that. And it kind of it blew my mind here, because I got to be honest with you. Like, I feel like living in Northeast Ohio, I encounter a lot of Walmart Ohio State fans. And I say that that's the people who, like, never went to Ohio State, and they're just fans because you live in Ohio and that's what you do in Ohio. Is the vitriol as strong for Ryan Day in Columbus as it seems to be in Cleveland, where I feel like I'm the last reasonable man trying to talk about Ryan Day?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, I don't think that. I think that it's similar across the fan base. I do think, like, the last 2 weeks, like a loss and an unimpressive win as a 4-point win as a 25.5-point favorite. Has affected some people in general, right? Because we do surveys like that with our audience a lot too, and the audience we have is like, you pay to be a tech subscriber, and you really, really care about Ohio State, and they are always less vitriolic, less fire the guy than sort of like the casual fans are. So I do agree with your point there. Sometimes if you're a little more casual, you're like, just get rid of the guy. But there is a line for everybody, and so they have enough talent to be awesome. And so if you feel like they aren't reaching that, everybody's got a line. And the way this season has transpired, I think, has pushed more people toward it. Now, the hard thing is, well, they could lose to Penn State, go 10-2. They're absolutely in the playoff at 10-2, because that would include a win over Indiana if they are 10-2. No doubt about it, they're in. And once they're in, there's not a super team this year. They could be 10-2 and win the national title. And then it's like, well, should you have fired Ryan Day? Like, so that's the part of it that's like, well, it's not realistic. They're not going to fire him on Monday. But at some point, if you feel like this is a disappointing season, it affects your view of the coach, for sure. And so I'll wait until the season's done. But if that season is not very competitive at the national title level, then that has an influence on the future, for sure.
So I'm asking this. This is going to sound like a loaded question. I don't mean it like this. But as somebody who observes Ryan Day at this level, I think the thing that bugs me is the discrediting of Ryan Day. None of the success is any of his doing. So I'm just curious, like, what do you think Ryan Day deserves credit for other than the ridiculous record that looks really good on face value?
Revolutionizing the Ohio State offense. You think about where it was. I mean, it's a quarterback run offense before Ryan Day gets here as an offensive coordinator, and everything that has happened since then with throwing the ball and producing these quarterbacks, and really it's a passing team for the first time in Ohio State history. That's Ryan Day, right? I think it's a team you can be proud of. I don't think Ryan Day would shove an opposing player on the sideline like Kirby Smart did. You know, Georgia has dudes driving 100 miles an hour all over the city of Athens, Georgia. Ohio State doesn't have that. I'm not saying they have perfect players, but it's nothing close to that. So I think that, you know, that does still matter in college football, I think, to a lot of people. I think the culture is good. I think the players like him. I think that does matter. I think there's a ton of stuff that is positive, but it does remind me a little bit. It's not Cooper. People want to compare it to John Cooper. That's not my comparison. But my first year covering Ohio State was 05, so I wasn't here for the 02 national title. And Jim Tressel getting that in year two, you have all the capital in the world. But 06 and 07, losing to SEC teams in the national title game, it felt like Ohio State couldn't get over the top. And you thought, what is Jim Tressel doing to get him over the top? They're awesome. Like, they're really good, but are they great? And I think that's where the fan base is. And so what does Ryan do to get him over the top in the games that matter? Right? Dan Lanning called that line drive kick that hit off an Ohio State player, and Oregon recovered in that game and got a free possession. When does Ohio State do that? Right? The Alabama semifinal, Ohio State, Alabama in 14, Ohio State scored a touchdown at the end of the first half on a receiver pass. When's Ohio State had something like that? Like, it doesn't have to be a trick play necessarily, but how is the head coach getting them over the top when it matters? So much else is healthy and good, but how does he get them over the top? I really think that's like the only critique, but whenever they repeatedly fall short in those moments, that critique becomes stronger.
All right, we got 15 seconds here. Who gets a new job first, Ryan Day or James Franklin?
So it's one of those, I actually think like both programs are actually really healthy. I think this one is more important for Ohio State than Penn State because Penn State has not won this game. But I think Penn State can lose this and still make the playoff, win a playoff game, and be one of the best eight teams in the country. And how can that be a bad year for Penn State? I think Penn State would have to celebrate that. So I don't know. Boy, that's a tough call. Because I think they both could be there for a while, especially in a 12-team playoff, right, where we're redefining success a little. Man.
I've done it to you again. Doug, you're
maybe Ryan Day because the standards are higher. The expectations are higher and harder to achieve. But I don't think either are on the precipice right now. I don't. And I don't think the loser of this game is necessarily on the edge. I don't.
Doug, you're the best, buddy. Appreciate you. Enjoy the game tomorrow.
Thanks, man.
Doug Lamorese, Kings of the North, on YouTube, Monday through Thursday at noon. Postgame on Saturday nights as well in the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com